Welcome to another episode of Masked Monologues, the anonymous podcast dedicated to creatives. Each week, I dive into conversations with a diverse array of creatives from various industries to explore their unique processes and stories. If you're enjoying the show and want to support us, please consider leaving a review or sharing it with a friend.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologue. Today, I'm excited to be joined with Todd Allen Rose. He's going to tell us a little bit about himself and what he does. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. My name is Todd Allen Rose, and I'll tell you that my background started with running several online businesses, but I was hopping from Amazon FBA to affiliate marketing. And after spending years and thousands of dollars, I really had nothing to show for it. My focus was all over the place and I really was struggling to pay the bills, but I heard someone say, pick a horse you're going to ride. So that made sense. And I finally stopped everything else. I focused on one thing. I mapped things out the way that I wanted and what group of people I really wanted to serve. So in doing so, I read books from people like Don Miller, Alex Hormozi, Russell Brunson, which led me to develop software that solves big problems for attorneys and law firms. So now I've got a YouTube channel and podcast that helps attorneys, plus a personal channel for my brand.
No, I love your piece of advice there. I noticed that a lot of entrepreneurs who are novices just starting out, they tend to jump on the next big thing or what they hear in pop culture. And this leads to going down a lot of different avenues and having no focus. And you also notice that they don't have any expertise or background in the specific area that they're getting into. So I love how you're talking about finding that focus. Maybe it's a passion of yours, something you've done in the past, you were experienced in, and then serving that audience, those customers, because once you find the audience and your customers, it's just finding the way to provide them with value, figuring out what their issues and problems are, and then creating a product or service to fit their needs. So I want to know, in your early entrepreneurship journey, can you talk about some things that you were doing wrong or some things that you might want to fix or change your mindset? Because I'm thinking of this from the perspective of the entrepreneur who's never started a company before. They don't know what they're doing. And maybe they've gotten a month into starting this new idea, this product they want to create, but then they have all these setbacks. Like maybe their product isn't as good as they thought. And maybe it was only their mom who liked it or their brother and it doesn't work for their market. So for that entrepreneur, because everyone who's successful, I feel as though to some extent was in that stage. How did you pivot your mindset?
That's really where it starts. It has to be with mindset, because the way that I failed is I was throwing money at my problems. For example, instead of me getting on the phone call and me getting on the phone to make code calls, what I would do is pay someone else to do it. So that's throwing money at a problem. And you're not learning how to do it properly so that you can either coach or delegate that like you should. The first thing I would do is make sure you have patience with yourself. If you're only doing something for a month, do you think it takes a month or 6 months to get a good degree or a good piece of experience? No, it's going to take a lot longer than that. So that was my fault because I kept getting upset with myself that, hey, 3 months in, I'm still not making $5,000 a month. Oh, I'm a year out. I'm still not at $10,000 a month. That's not how this thing is supposed to work. You're going to have challenges. And instead of seeing those challenges as failures, think of them as learning lessons. So for those beginning, have patience with yourself. Understand that if you're devoting yourself to something and you want to master it, it's going to take time. And really stop jumping from a shiny new object to the next one, like I did, Because when you really buckle down and focus on one thing, you'll see how far you can go.
Yes, and I want to know, how do you avoid those shiny new objects? Because it can be so tempting to see a friend who succeeded in something else and then say, oh, I should try that. Why aren't I doing that? And then you go jump on that trend, ride the wave, whatever it is, and you don't find success in it for yourself because you didn't realize that they've been sticking to it for way longer than you have.
Exactly. That's what happens. And it's really hard not to jump onto the next thing. So I don't think there's ever a way to truly kill that, because you, as an entrepreneur, I believe you do want to get a feel for the environment, for how the market moves, for what are the latest trends. But you also have to remember, you need to pick one thing, and it's something that's got to work for you for years. So if you don't see yourself doing it 3 to 5 years from now or staying with it, then it's probably not for you. I remember doing Amazon, and I was creating ads, and this was a long time ago when the fidget spinners came out, and that was a trend.
Yes, I remember those.
Yeah, they had them on TikTok, and I'm like, oh man, I need to start making content and videos. Let me do that. And then I went on Alibaba and saw the minimum quantity ordered is 10,000 fidget spinners for like at least $5,000. I don't have that kind of money. So like I spent so many, by the time I finally got my act together, the trend was done. So I learned, create a minimum viable product. Start with the bare bones of something. If you're going to do a trend, keep in mind it's just going to be a trend. Don't make it your main meat and potatoes. It's okay to experiment with things, but I feel you need to have your main thing that you're going to specialize and master in. And maybe you can try all the other things, but conduct them like A, B, C, D testing. Maybe it's something you can add on to what your existing main thing is. But I wouldn't make trends my main thing.
Yes, no, I love that piece of advice. Now, I want to go back to cold calling. So you said that you started out cold calling, but you didn't do it yourself. You hired somebody else to do it. And by doing that, you didn't learn how to do it properly, how to appeal to either the business you were talking to, the direct customer, the consumer. And I want to know, how do you go about cold calling now? Because a lot of people find that cold calling these days tends to be more emails or DMs on social media. Maybe it's a text message. And very rarely do I find that people actually pick up the phone and call someone up, or they schedule a meeting. So I want to know how, now knowing what you know, you approach cold calling. And also going back to the topic of delegation, I think there's things that you can delegate in your business, but the things that are bringing in the revenue, that are bringing in the profits, are going to be prioritized over something that isn't as important. So how should a startup entrepreneur go about delegation?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you're getting at with the cold calling, but let's talk about delegation first. So the very first step of delegation is creating a jobs to be done list. So if you have in the back of your mind that you want someone else to handle something that you're doing, then you should make a list of how that is getting done, or an SOP, a standard operating procedure. It sounds fancy, but really it's just a checklist. You have to get that down first, and from that, you can develop a system. Once you have that checklist, there's a process. The second step of that process is giving that to someone who doesn't know the job. It's someone that you can pull, maybe it's your family, anyone off the street, give them this, and they should be able to do the task. Learn and watch from them doing that task. if there's mess ups or misunderstandings, before you type it up or put it in stone, so to speak, make the changes with that person so that the next phase of this will be more solid. And that right there is never ending. They say not to record your checklist and video, make them text so that they can be changed. And of course, putting them to the cloud is great. Using something like Google where people can contribute. But as far as delegation, that's really the first step. Whatever you're thinking about, make that list and then go with it through someone. And if they get it and you feel that can be handed off to them or anyone else, then that part of delegation for that job or task will succeed.
Yes. So now I want to know, from starting up all these businesses, when you were first starting out, you did Amazon, tried to sell fidget spinners, and I'm sure you tested a lot of other markets. How did you get into what you are doing currently?
Yeah, what I did was a process of attempting and failure. So the problem with that is spending a lot of money getting inventory, spending money building a brand that's going to fall because I don't have customers. So it's really prioritizing is the most important part of starting something. I always say, when I've heard other people say, what you're doing is a hobby until you get a customer that pays, then it becomes a company. And I didn't always think that way. I thought, how can I sell someone on something that I don't have a 20-page website for? So getting back to the question, how did I go from Amazon going forward? It evolved over a course of time where I felt this isn't for me. There's no way I can go in the example of flipping products on eBay. I can't hit the thrift store every single weekend. I can't build up an inventory of resellable goods in my garage to resell. So this is not for me. I'm going to try something else. And I kept doing that until something fit very well with the kind of life I want to live, in having reoccurring revenue, in having systems, in not having a whole lot of employees, more of a solopreneur kind of deal. And that's what I found now.
And you say you provide technical solutions for attorneys. How did you approach this market? You started off with, I'm assuming, cold calling. How did you reach out to your ideal client and convince them that there was a demand and need for your service or your product?
That's a very good question. And the way that you asked is a hidden bomb in there, because I fill a solution that already exists within the market. I don't feel that you need to convince anything of anyone that they need your product. It's more of a, hey, I have a solution to your problem that happens to be in the format of a software platform. So people pay for solutions, they don't pay for features. So I didn't cold call attorneys, because you'll always get stopped by the gatekeeper. So the best way for attorneys would be through content marketing. And we're getting very specific into this niche, because there could be other markets where cold calling is fine, but I don't believe that's the case for attorneys. So you'll find attorneys will absorb information through content marketing, YouTube channels, through conferences. There's more in-person meetings with attorneys, because in some sense, they're older school. They like referrals. They like getting sales and meeting people through referrals. So there's a number of ways to conduct sales with attorneys that may or may not work for other industries. And one of them, I don't think cold calling is one of them for attorneys.
Yes, no, I think that comes with knowing your audience and knowing who you're catering your product or service to, because cold calling could work for other businesses, other industries, like you said. But when it comes to attorney, if you know that they're more old school, they like that content marketing, building a relationship before you just hit them with a sale and your solution. I want to know, you say you do a lot of content marketing. What type of content marketing do you do as a business? So do you do YouTube channels? Do you do more articles? Or do you just go to, I know a lot of businesses go to networking events and just connect with people who in their niche or who they're looking for, their ideal customers, hand out business cards, chat for a while. What has worked in your space?
Yeah, I think that the answer is do as much as you can and all of that, as Gary Vaynerchuk would say. But my primary way of content marketing is with YouTube, since it's the second largest type of search engine. So all of my focus is on YouTube. And besides that, cold email, but we try not to send cold emails. We try to send warm emails. But you want to get in a position of giving the attorney value first, maybe doing something for them, creating a checklist, or somehow making a connection where they recognize your name or your face, and then they're more apt to read your email, to open up a letter that you sent them handwritten through the mail because they remember your name, or it's not like a standard postcard. So personalization is key with attorneys, whether it's cold email, knowing their problems, exactly what they need solved. I can address those problems on YouTube. And if they want to continue to do business with me, they can just click on the link. So that's how I make content marketing work for this market. And I feel that a lot of people can do the same thing with whatever specialty they choose. I would definitely choose video as a way to go, and specifically YouTube first.
Yes. And I know a lot of businesses, you're doing different types of videos than you'd say your content creator or someone who makes funny videos, short style shorts, YouTube shorts or reels. I'd say as a business, you're going to approach it more professionally than someone who's using it for, let's say, TikTok dances or something different like that. So when it comes to this type of content, I've noticed it's more difficult to gain an audience for it, or you're specifically targeting a niche because you're not going to get as many views, as many likes as something that was jumping on a trend. Maybe it's this TikTok dance that blows up. It's more informative content. In YouTube, I'm thinking, because I use YouTube as well, when it comes to the algorithm, they want to have people on the platform for as long as they can and have the highest retention rate. So when it comes to the informative content, what have you noticed is a good way to communicate your knowledge, be informative, and then also be engaging and have captivating content that does well in terms of the algorithm?
That is a good question, because it's always a test to get captivating. It's always a challenge to get someone captivated and keep them attuned to what they're watching. And it's probably always going to be, because things change so much. So what I do is more educational, and I try not to keep it dry. The only way I have found is just putting a little charisma, maybe getting different camera angles, doing some things in post, and what else? I just try not to keep it dry.
Maybe like sprinkling in a couple of jokes here and there, making a comparison.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, instead of having this dry educational material, you can use humor. You can use different camera angles. You can maybe add just a little light music in the background, but keep it interesting. And what I like to do for topics is I do use vidIQ for YouTube, so I can put in there maybe what's trending in that space. Also, Answer the Public is a good website. And I think I've got that right, Answer the Public. I pay a little something every month. And what that allows you to do is literally find out what people are asking. So that's been a real good source of getting very direct questions that are out there and addressing them. And that way, you're creating something that people actually want to watch.
Yes. And now I want to know, throughout your entire entrepreneurial journey, do you have any key takeaways or tips and tricks that you think other entrepreneurs could apply to their businesses or what they're doing in the moment?
Yeah, great question. I found two, and the first one may not seem that great, but take it in, think about it. And the first one is, I no longer reveal my intentions to people. That means if I tell my wife or tell my best friends, hey, I'm starting this business and it's going to make $1 million this year, they're going to roll their eyes again. So instead of that, I keep that to myself and I let my, what I do is I keep that to myself and I let my effort and my what I produce be the showcase. Instead of words, I produce something, I create. Instead of consume, I create. So when I say don't reveal your intentions to people, it's not mean. It's just so that you keep that idea to yourself and you let it grow within you, and then you can let it take it over. You let that idea take over and blossom into something that you've always wanted. The second part is creating a minimum viable product. Don't do what I did. Don't spend time and money on something that people don't even want. I learned that from the Lean Startup by Eric Ries. I hope I said his name right, R-I-E-S. And that's exactly what the whole book is about, is get to a certain point and then test it out in your marketplace. Ask people. And then you can make changes and iterations on what they like. And then you have a product that you're able to sell that you're proud to have. So that's really key. Those two things have helped me. And I would pass that on to anyone who'll listen.
Yes, I find that a lot of starting a business or just finding a demand for something, creating a service, is more about getting to the heart of the customer, finding what they need and what they want. So for it's sure. Just making observations about things in everyday life and then seeing if you want to cater to that niche, you want to cater to that audience, and then finding that service. I also want to piggyback off of what you said about not telling everyone that you're starting this business and you think you want it to make $1 million by the end of the year, and saying, you know what, I'm going to work on this every day. I'm going to do this. And if it makes $1 million by the end of the year, then I'll be happy. If not, then I've learned something and I'll apply it to something else, or I'll continue forward. But I find that especially with entrepreneurs, you get all that judgment, I'd say. I'm not sure if it's judgment, but people don't believe you, or they don't believe you until they see it. And there, then once it happens, they're like, I believed in you the entire time.
I've got people like that in my life where they don't believe it until they see it. And I used to flip homes in Phoenix and Oklahoma, and the person I was married with was like that, where she said, we'd go to a real dump and I would fix it up and I would say, look at it like a Michelangelo statue. Like, this artist looked at this piece of stone and said to themselves, I can already see what I'm going to build. I think that's what you might want to do with your business. Have the vision in mind and test it out, but you don't have to announce it to the world.
Yes. And it's so different, I'd say, how entrepreneurs think versus other people who aren't in the entrepreneurial space or even creative space, is because you see that vision where nobody else sees it. And in your mind, it's already there. It's already built and it's just bringing your creation to life. But
yes.
Other people don't see that vision. So it's, no, all I see is this dump here. I don't understand how it could be this amazing house, this amazing masterpiece. And it's just building upon that, working at it every day vigorously until it is like what you want it to be.
You're right. Look at those pictures of Elon Musk just alone at his desk or Steve Jobs. Like when they first started out, they didn't have a whole lot. Steve started in the garage, I believe. And you got to start somewhere and just put yourself out there and do the thing. You don't have to talk about it. Just do it.
Yes. No, thank you. This has been a pleasure speaking with you. I want to know if my audience wants to connect with you and learn more about what your company does. How can they find you? Do you have a website, any social media platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Website of my company's name is AlphaSync, and we're at alphasync.ai. And the brand or product that AlphaSync is selling right now is SyncroLaw, because we specialize with attorneys. SyncroLaw has its own page. It can be found on that website, but we'll also include a link directly to that product. And I do have a personal side of things. It's toddallanrose.com. The Allen is A-L-A-N, but we'll have a link there as well. And from that page, you'll find all the other links to all the other social media. But I really appreciate your time and thank you for having me on.
No, thank you so much. And if you guys like this episode, please do check Todd out, give him some love, go and see what he does. And if you want more episodes like this, then please leave a review or share with a friend and family member. And we hope to see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Masked Monologues. Don't forget to like and subscribe. See you next time.